Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And if you are unable to tune in during this particular hour, podcasts of prior shows are also available on both those websites. Today is March 28, 2018. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 23,848, the NASDAQ at 6949, and the S&P at 2605. Our topic tonight is listeners' tax questions, and also I'm going to try to highlight a little bit of multi-state issues. So why am I doing listeners' tax questions? I did that once in February already. Well, because it's almost April 15th, and if you're someone who has not filed your tax return yet, maybe you have a question that just needs a quick answer, and maybe we can see if we can help you get that question answered so that you can move on with getting your tax return prepared. We are live tonight, so we will take your questions. Lori C's in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer the calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can certainly give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer. The number is 610-758-8810. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. 8810, and email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So I wanted to mention last week we were out because of the weather again. It was the second time, and it was the same guest that I was supposed to have for both the snowstorms that we had. So that is attorney Jim Ruggiero, and he'll come on in May, and we are going to talk about using something called an IRA trust as a beneficiary of IRAs. So Jim will join us in May for that. So tonight, again, I thought, let's just talk about listeners' tax questions again. So I hope that we have some listeners who have some tax questions to fill up the hour. Otherwise, I'm making up questions as we go along here. But I thought I would also talk about some resources that are available for people if you do have questions that you want to go research on your own. And of course, you know I love free websites and government websites that have lots of information. And obviously, the website for this time of year is going to be the IRS.gov website, the IRS.gov. So we'll get talking about that in just a moment. Did I mention the Dow was down? Yeah. So one thing I just want to mention about that is, you know, we have people who say, oh my gosh, you know, the market's down, it's going, you know, crazy, and they get nervous and things like that. I like to periodically mention that, yes, that does happen from time to time. The markets do go down, they go up, and we certainly, you know, don't have as many people asking questions when the market is going up and up and up. So just know that sometimes what we're really looking for is kind of returns over time, folks, returns over time. So just be aware of that and kind of pay attention. But of course, you have to be aware of your own risk tolerance and what you're comfortable with and all of that. But so when we say it's down, it does tend to do that from time to time, up and down. Sometimes I wonder if people say things just to get like a little reaction and Hopefully they're not playing on it. Okay, so again, listeners' tax questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. When I think of tax questions, obviously people who like to research probably spend some time doing that on their own. You got to be careful where you're getting your research and where you're going to for that research. And also, if you're using a paid tax preparer, you want to make sure that they are someone who has, you know, the proper credentials and that they're legitimate. So you do want to make sure that if you are using a paid tax preparer to help you, they are required to have something called the Preparer Tax Identification Number. Again, from the IRS's website, choosing a paid tax return preparer. More than 83 million taxpayers paid someone to prepare their federal tax return in 2017. And anyone who does prepare and helps prepare a federal tax return must have the Preparer Tax Identification Number. It's in lieu of using their Social Security number on the tax return. And they must sign in the paid preparer's area of the return and give the taxpayer a copy of the return. Anyone who prepares and files 11 or more individual tax returns a year must file electronically. So if you're going to someone who is a paid preparer, you want to make sure they have that P10. And if they tell you that they can't file electronically, then that is a like a little hint that they're probably not filing more than 11 tax returns. And maybe you might want to think about who you're using. So you want to make sure that you're using someone who has filed for that Preparer Tax Identification Number with the IRS. And check the tax return preparer's qualifications, their history. You want to ask about fees and, you know, maybe even their licensure. Are they a CPA? Are they enrolled agent? And do they file their returns electronically with the IRS? There are attorneys who can file tax returns. So I'm looking at the IRS's feature on this section. It says tax return preparers with unlimited representation rights include the following professionals: attorneys, certified public accountants, and enrolled agents. So what they're talking about there is if you need someone to represent you before the IRS, there are certain credentialed individuals that can represent you in front of the IRS: attorneys, certified public accountants, and enrolled agents. So you might, you know, not that everyone's getting audited or needs to be represented, but that is if there were some kind of issue with the return. All right, so check that out. It was funny because I did go on the website. It said you can find a tax preparer through the IRS's website, and here I love, you know, the IRS.gov. I go on the website quite often to find to do research. And then I go and I type in the help field CPA and it says like error. I type tax preparer, error, tax professional, error. It was like nothing was coming up. I had to get to a particular page and just find just the right page to see if I could find tax preparer. So they do sometimes make some of this seem easier than it actually is when you're looking to get some help. So you have to kind of dig around a little bit. But basically, the IRS has been putting out bulletins or issues called Tax Time Guide. And they say, make the IRS.gov your first stop to get quick answers to tax questions. And they have been putting out a series of these releases, IRS news releases that they called the Tax Time Guide, to help taxpayers navigate common tax issues. And they have said that already this year, visits to the IRS.gov have jumped 21% over the same time last year. So lots of people are going online and checking things out. I think one of the most important tools available on the IRS's website that people are very interested in using is the tool called Where's My Refund? For folks who have filed their income tax return and they want to know where their refund is or the status of it, there is a tool on the website called Where's My Refund? So after our first break, I'll tell you a little bit more about that and what you're going to need to check the status of your refund, and then some new features that have been added to it, that tool that weren't there, I think, even a year ago. So folks, if you have questions, listeners' questions on taxes, if you have any, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is gearing up for our 2018 Spring Pledge Drive starting Friday, April 6th. If we can raise $15,000 before April 6th, we'll push back the start of the drive by 3 days. That will give us an entire uninterrupted weekend of the WDIY programs you love. Help us keep the drive short. Make your contribution today at WDIY.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and we're taking listeners' tax questions this evening. If you have any, you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can call in. Lori C's in the studio. She'll take your question. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. All you need to do is call the number, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So I mentioned, I think, one of the most useful tools on the IRS's website, despite finding publications and forms and instructions and all of that, is the tool called Where's My Refund? And it is available on irs.gov. And apparently there is a new mobile app, an official IRS mobile app, IRS2, number two, go. And that is a mobile app where you can also get that information. But basically, taxpayers can start checking on the status of their return within 24 hours after the IRS acknowledges receipt of a taxpayer's electronically filed return. That's one of the advantages of filing your return electronically. The IRS gets it into their system, obviously, so much faster than a paper filed return. So within 24 hours after acknowledging receipt of a taxpayer's electronically filed return, the taxpayer who is expecting a refund can go on that website, Where's My Refund, which is a link on the IRS.gov website or on that mobile app, to check what the status of their refund is. If you paper filed, you have to wait 4 weeks. 4 weeks after mailing the paper return, which is why electronic filing is, you know, so much the way to go. Now, there are situations where you cannot electronically file, but they're rare and where that doesn't happen that often. Generally, you can almost file anything electronically. So occasionally there will be a paper filed return. Typically, I see that when we have a decedent who has a final income tax return with a refund, because occasionally we have to do an attachment to that tax return, a short certificate showing that the executor can get the refund. So occasionally that will happen. But basically, what you're going to need when you go to check the status of your refund is your Social Security number, your filing status, and the exact amount of your refund. So if you're running around with this mobile app and you think you can check your refund really quickly, well, you probably know your Social Security number off the top of your head. You probably know your filing status off the top of your head, but you may not recall your refund. So you want to make sure that if you're going to be kind of checking it regularly, you want to know the exact amount of the refund. And with that information, you plug that into the prompts on the IRS's website link, Where's My Refund? And it will tell you the status. Occasionally, it'll say things like, you know, we've received your information. I believe the refunds when you file electronically are still coming fairly quickly. I know there was a time where it was like 7 to 10 days, and I typically tell people about 2 weeks. And that's especially if, you know, there might be any other outstanding issues. So if it's a clean return, everything's kind of pretty standard, generally that refund would come fairly quickly. Occasionally you have situations where people get married and they change their name and they don't notify the IRS or they don't notify Social Security, and Social Security and the IRS's systems link up. So if you have the wrong name with the your Social Security number, then your return typically will get rejected. And if you're working with a paid preparer, they will alert you that the return has been rejected from electronic filing, and then we have to resolve the problem and that kind of thing. So be aware of that. But that's the information you need to find. Where's my refund? It's a great little resource. And they also said don't check more than one time a day, because they only update it one time a day. And so don't check more often than that. We had a caller from New Jersey call in, John, and he asked, property tax deduction. He made a six-month prepaid 2018. I'm guessing he prepaid his real estate taxes. And can he deduct it for 2017? Well, John, what was happening back at the end of the year when tax reform was going through and people realized that they may not be able to or they wouldn't benefit from itemizing their deductions, their Schedule A itemized deductions in 2018 because of the limitations and, you know, the higher standard deduction. A lot of people aren't going to be itemizing anymore. So at the end of the year, there was a flurry of people trying to pay extra taxes so that they could get the deduction in 2017. And a lot of people weren't consulting their tax preparers prior to doing it. We're just paying ahead of time. What it basically came down to, John, was that if the taxes, and I think you have to check with your locality, but if the taxes were assessed in 2017 for 2018, if they knew the assessed amount or the I think it's based on the assessed value. If they knew the amount and it was a fact in 2017, then I believe those were going to be okay. But what was happening is people were paying taxes, but the locales, counties, schools, whatever, had not finalized the assessed taxes. And I hope I'm using the right word. So that they would not be deductible. So some of the taxes that people were paying in ahead of time were not deductible because they were not officially levied. Maybe that's what it is, levied. All right, so I hope that helps. You're going to have to go back and find out in your area if they were actually levied, assessed, whatever it might be. And if they were, then I would say I'm thinking you could deduct it. If they weren't, then you're just going to have, then you wouldn't have the deduction, and it probably won't matter for 2018. I hope that helps. Thank you for calling in, John. I appreciate it, from New Jersey. We have Jack from Macungie. He read new tax law, says home equity loan can't be deducted, but then he read it could be for any portion that was used for home improvement. How does the IRS know, and is there a form? Hey, Jack, this is so funny that you read this, because I was feeling the same way. Bottom line, you'd read one thing and it would say flat out home equity loans no longer deductible. But then I actually printed something out, and I don't have it with me, but that confirmed that actually if that home equity loan actually was acquisition debt or improvements of your home, that it still would continue to be deductible. And I think that there's a lot of confusion around that, because very clearly you'll read it one place that says home equity loans can't be deducted. But then very clearly I read some clarification on it later, more recently, that said, don't be confused. If it is acquisition debt or home improvement debt, it would continue to be deductible. How does the IRS know? I don't think they would know. So what you're going to want to do is make sure that if you've done improvements to your home, that you take those receipts and staple them to your loan paperwork, so that when you're filing for the loan, I don't know if when you're going in and getting that home equity, if you have to tell them what you're using it for. I would say the line of credit would be harder, but a home equity loan, you know, you might have to kind of say what the proceeds are going to be used for. What they don't want people doing is allowing home equity debt to be used for, you know, buying a new car or just taking money out and, you know, gambling or something. So if you can show that it is related to acquisition, improvements, adding on to your house, whatever it might be, tied to the home, then just keep that in your paperwork with your loan paperwork. That's what I would do. There's so many things people don't realize. There is so much that is really the honor system with our tax filings anyway, right? I mean, charitable contributions, they say we have to have receipts. We keep the receipts, but the IRS, we're not sending the receipts in with the IRS. The only way that they would really know is if they audited us. And that happens with just, you know, so many areas of our tax returns, charitable giving, businesses, if people have business expenses, rental expenses. So it is a bit of an honor system. So we just have to keep our backup in our paperwork in case we're ever checked. Thank you, Jack, for calling in. I appreciate it. Folks, if you have questions, love the questions. And tonight is a great night to do that because the topic is listeners' tax questions. Phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. Tonight's topic is listeners' tax questions. And if I have time, I'll highlight some interesting things to think about if you're ever in a multi-state situation, multi-state, and we're probably going to see more and more multi-state filing returns. And you say, why? Well, because if you work for a company where maybe you're working a few days in New York, a few days here and there, you may end up finding that you have out-of-state wages on your W-2, which will mean that you may end up having to file more than one state income tax return. So I'll talk more about that as we go through the show. But if you have questions, topic, listeners' tax questions, phone number 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. I want to mention 2 weeks ago, so last week was the snowstorm. 2 weeks ago, I did a show on health savings accounts, and that I expect is up on the website wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. For anyone who has a health savings account or is thinking about getting one next year, this year at your next open enrollment, it is probably a show worth listening to. Health savings account, it's a huge income tax deduction for folks, either if you do it through your payroll deduction or if you self-fund it yourself. It's a big income tax deduction, and there's no income limits on that one, whereas we do have that on income limits on traditional IRAs and stuff like that. You just have to know that to have a health savings account, you also have to have a high deductible health plan. So you want to make sure that you have enough money set aside to fulfill any of those high deductibles that you may face if you are, choosing that kind of plan. So that is, I expect, on the website, wdiy.org. That's one of my biggest takeaways from this tax season is I am seeing so many more health savings accounts. I mean, like crazy. And what I'm really seeing is people not fully funding them through their employer, and the funding amounts depend on if it's a single plan or a family plan. But I am seeing a lot more of them. And in years past, I just wasn't seeing them. So as they become more available, I think there's going to be more people seeking that opportunity, and especially young people who probably think they won't have as many health expenses will opt into possibly high deductible health plans when they start at that first job out of college. So if they are doing that, parents, mention to your kids, do you have a health savings account with that high deductible health plan? That might be something to think about funding, an extra way to save. And if it's invested, it can grow income tax-free and be used for medical expenses into the future. It could be used in 20 years, 30 years. It all depends. And if they end up having to take money out of it, that's okay too, as long as they have the qualified education or qualified medical expenses to match the distribution. But if they're not using it, then they want to look to see if they can get it invested and earn some money. So that's something kind of new this year, and I expect we're going to see more of that. As far as more resources available on the IRS's website to answer questions, which they can on that website, you might be able to do some research. They also talk about free help preparing your tax return, that there is something called the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance and Tax Counseling for the Elderly Program. So VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, and then Tax Counseling for the Elderly Programs. Eligible taxpayers can get free local one-on-one help to prepare and file their taxes. There's several thousand community-based sites that are staffed by IRS-trained and certified volunteers. Low and moderate income taxpayers and those age 60 and above can find the nearest site on the IRS's website, irs.gov, and look for VITA site locator. So what I did is I punched in the zip code for our area here, and I found, you know, and I said within 5 miles, and there was one, and it was at Moravian College, and they require an appointment. So an appointment is required, and I imagine when you call for the appointment, they probably ask you questions to see if you're going to qualify for it. But when I searched a zip code in Allentown, I couldn't find anything in Allentown. I had to expand the miles like to 25 miles in order to grab, number one, the Moravian College site. And then the other sites were all like in Berks County and I think Phillipsburg I found. So there are none that I could find in Allentown. Now, I know that I believe ARP, AARP, also offers some services, and I did not explore that. So that might be an alternative to this VITA program. And ARP may or may not be free. I'm not sure. But there are organizations or communities that will help with tax preparation if people have trouble or need assistance with that. The IRS also has relationships with certain software companies to offer free tax preparation that you do yourself. So taxpayers that prefer to do their own taxes can find free tax preparation help on the IRS.gov website. It's called the IRS Free File Program, and it is available and it offers 12 brand name tax preparation software packages for free to the 70% of taxpayers who earned $66,000 or less in 2017. So that's the criteria in order to be eligible for the free tax preparation help. You have to earn less than $66,000. The software does all the work of finding deductions, credits, and exemptions for which the taxpayer qualifies. Taxpayers who earned more than $66,000 in 2017 and are comfortable preparing their own taxes can use free file fillable forms. This electronic version of paper IRS forms is also used to file tax returns online. So I guess in that situation, you're having to fill in and figure out the deductions, credits, and exemptions, whereas the other software will populate it, you know, as you go. And I don't recall if it's, you know, questions as you go or if you kind of have to know how to navigate it. But that's probably for people who are fairly comfortable handling their own income tax information. Having said that, I do want to mention that I think I had read, I can't remember. Was it billions of dollars are still in the IRS's hands from refunds that people have not filed for? If you have not filed your 2014 tax return because you thought you were going to have a refund, you knew you didn't owe anything, you just didn't want to bother with it, maybe you were a high school kid or a college kid and the parents didn't help you do the tax return, and you had $50 of withholdings for federal and you just didn't bother filing your return, you could still file your 2014 return. You have until April 15th of 2018 to file a 2014 return and still get that refund. So anybody listening who has not filed their 2014 tax return, if you think you might have a refund, you got to get it filed because the IRS does not owe it to you if you don't file your tax return. It's the only way to get it. Got to file your return. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, that's the topic tonight, listeners' tax questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 48. On Thursday, you have a chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 56. Thursday night, showers likely, cloudy with a low around 49. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60. Friday night, a low around 35. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 54. And on your Easter Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 52. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Folks, we have a caller on line one. We have Melanie from Easton. Hi, Melanie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. No problem. How can I help you?
Well, I was able to have my taxes prepared by AARP since you mentioned it. And I'm not a senior, too, and they do it for free.
Oh, great. That's good to know.
Yeah. So usually through the library or the senior center. Last year when I filed my taxes, I had some alimony income that I wasn't aware of, and I had to file an amended return. And I did that, and everything was fine. This year, I had all my material ready, and we overlooked, I'm self-employed, and somehow we overlooked my mileage. I filed the return electronically, but now I'm looking at having to go back and amend the return to include my mileage. Is that going to flag me having a second year of an amended return? Is the IRS going to look at that possibly and say, uh-oh, there's something going on here?
No, I don't think so. You just give a good explanation when you file the amended return. Basically, you say, you know, taxpayer inadvertently omitted the mileage from their Schedule C business return, and then you just give them only the pages that were amended. I've seen preparers where they reprint the entire return and file it with the IRS. I only reprint the pages that have changed. So in your case, it's going to be your Schedule C and then, you know, pages 1 and 2. Not sure if it would affect Schedule A. But having said so, not a problem. And I would just amend it. Now, you'll also want to amend your Pennsylvania and your local then, too. And you have 3 years to amend. So you don't, it's not like you have to run out and do it like tomorrow. Someone told me once, if we haven't completed the tax season, you could actually go in and change your return without having to do an amended. But to me, that's counting too much on the IRS understanding that we really didn't mean to file that return the first time. So I just let it go, amend it. I'd give it a few months. I'd probably amend it like in June.
Okay.
Yeah, so give them some time. Now, I want to mention one other quick thing since you called, though, and you said you're self-employed. If you have the opportunity to fund an IRA or a 401k, if you have one, and you hadn't done it, this opens up the window for you to kind of do that, too, because you have till April 15th, and then if you amend your return, you can put in that deduction. So that's just my extra little piece.
plug.
Yes, yes, little plug. If you're eligible to do like a traditional IRA, if you don't already have a solo 401k, which is, and don't tell me your income, but depending on your income, a solo 401k is a great way to kind of manage your tax situation if you can put more into a retirement plan. It's a nice deduction. So
wonderful.
Okay,
good
so
to know. Okay.
Good luck, Melanie. Thank you for calling. Thanks for the info on ARP, too. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your help.
Okay, have a good night. We have another caller on line three. We have Paul. Hi, Paul. Can you hear me?
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. How can
I
help you?
I'm fortunate. I work at a local university, mm-hmm. and my children have been able to receive the tuition remission program.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have two of them in graduate programs, which means that their tuition becomes taxable income to me.
Okay.
So I have about an additional $24,000 in taxes on my 2017
uh-huh.
at this point here. And I was wondering if there's anything I can do, if there's any deductions I can take from that, or is that just my taxes?
Well, are your kids in grad school, are they still your dependent? Or either?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there is still certain education credits that you may be eligible for depending on your income, and don't tell me your income, but mm-hmm. there's still the lifetime learning credit if your page one income is, under $112,000 or between $112,000 and $132,000, there's a phase out if you're married filing joint. Over $132,000, it's not going to help you.
Okay.
So you may or may not benefit from that lifetime learning credit. There is if your income is too high for that, there is something called the tuition and fees deduction, and I believe that might be eligible for grad school. You know, because certain credits, the American Opportunity Credit's only for undergrad. The tuition and fees mm-hmm. deduction, I'm thinking off the top of my head, I think that might apply to grad school as well. And there's higher income thresholds for that, but it's not as great of a deduction because the lifetime learning credit is actually a tax credit, and that's going
right.
to give you the biggest bang. But if you don't qualify for that, the tuition and fees deduction at least might give you a little bit of a deduction, and that's for married filing joint at income levels on page one of $130,000, and it phases out after $160,000. So that might be something to look at. Bottom right. line, then, if you don't qualify for anything, and let's pretend your grad student kids work, but they're still your dependents. If they were to have taxes, there might be some other things that you could do where, you know, you don't claim them, they don't claim themselves, and then there might be some other ways to get some benefit. But bottom line,
okay.
I'm thinking try that and see if any of that applies. But it's still good to be, you're still ahead getting money to help pay for school. So.
Oh, absolutely. They're getting a better education than I could have afforded to give them.
That's great. That's great.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Take care. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I love the questions. And the education is always something that needs to be reviewed because there are so many different moving parts, lots of moving parts with education. When folks are taking money out of 529s or they're not, or partly out of 529s, partly not, tuition coverage. I've seen cases where we have kids who might have their tuition 100% covered, and therefore then they're not going to qualify for the American Opportunity Credit, where someone might think that they do. But you have to, in order to qualify for the American Opportunity Credit, you actually have to have, you know, incurred tuition cost. And you can't have a double dip by taking advantage of the 529 plan and taking money out of the 529 and not paying tax on it, and then also getting the American Opportunity Credit. But where it gets tricky, and where sometimes, you know, someone might benefit from a tax professional, is even though you might have taken all the money out of the 529, you might say instead you have a disqualifying distribution, which would then open the door for having out-of-pocket, in essence, out-of-pocket cost in order to qualify for the American Opportunity Credit. It gets crazy, you guys. It gets crazy. And a lot of people don't know this, all the different things that you can do or that are could be available. So lots of great questions tonight, and we could go off on tangents on all of these questions that people have had. Folks, phone number 610-758-8810. I want to mention that Melanie had mentioned about alimony. Alimony, you know, going back to the earlier caller, that of what we've heard, you know, what are we interpreting out of tax reform, and what we've heard in tax reform is, oh, alimony's not going to be taxable anymore, and you can't deduct alimony anymore. But that's not the case for divorces that had already happened prior to the tax reform. So if there was alimony prior to the tax reform, and I can't remember the date that they, you know, drew in the sand, but basically before tax reform, if you already had entered into an agreement with alimony, then it would continue to be income taxable to the recipient and tax deductible by the payor of that alimony. It's going forward that they're monkeying with the deductibility and not deductibility. What I expect to see probably more going forward then is more property settlements, where maybe you skew the property settlement one way in lieu of doing alimony. So it's going to keep a lot of attorneys probably busy. So, folks, we're talking about tax questions and some of the information that is available on the IRS's website. If you ever need a copy of a tax return, they do provide copies, only going back so far, though. So this says those who need a copy of their tax return can use the online tool Get Transcript. It's free and available on IRS.gov. Taxpayers can view, print, or download their tax transcripts for the most current tax year after the IRS has processed the tax return. This also happens sometimes. You know, people might say, well, you know, I mentioned earlier you could still file a 2014 return if you never filed one, and thinking, you know, maybe you had withholdings that you just kind of forgot about, never filed, and oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out, overwhelmed, can't do it, don't remember, lost the papers, moved, dog ate them, had a fire, flood, whatever. You can get transcripts from the IRS of any information that was reported to them. So if you indeed had a W-2 or maybe retirement monies that you had withholdings on, that you can't find that document anymore, the IRS has it sitting in their, you know, in their electronic files. You can go to the IRS.gov or go to the one of the offices and or online and request a transcript for that particular year, 2014 maybe, or 2015, 2016, whatever years you didn't file a tax return. But the reason I keep mentioning 2014 is because April 15th is going to be the last chance to file for those 2014 returns if you're expecting a refund. And of course, if you owe, you want to file too, because you don't want the IRS to come after you for penalties and failure to file and all that. So you can request a transcript, not only of if you filed a tax return, but you can request a transcript of the information that was reported to the IRS by the payers that paid you. And with that information, you can file your tax return and hopefully get a refund if one is due you. What else is available on the IRS's website? Tax law questions can be answered quickly, they said, when using any of the several tools available. Interactive Tax Assistant, a frequently asked questions section. Publication 17. Publication 17 is for individuals. And back in the day when I first started preparing tax returns, there was a few things we as preparers always had at our side. And one of them was Publication 17, because you had to look up stuff all the time then. We didn't have the computer to research on, so we were looking it up in Publication 17. We also had something called the Package X, which had all the tax forms and their instructions, back when we used to look up all the instructions. Software is great. It does a lot of calculations for us, but sometimes the meat of the research is in those publications and in those instruction forms, where it really can help you navigate, you know, your confusion. If you need to make a payment, the IRS has direct pay. Now, this is something I haven't heard that many people talk about. I have not really talked about it and have not talked about it with clients, but IRS Direct Pay offers taxpayers the fastest and easiest way to pay what they owe. It's a free online system which allows individuals to securely pay their tax bills or make quarterly estimated tax payments directly from their checking or savings account without fees or without pre-registration. So you want to go to irs.gov/payments for information on this and other payment options. I suppose this could be particularly helpful if you're late in, you know, mailing a check or something, but direct pay, and that is for paying your tax bill or quarterly estimated tax payments. And of course, if you can't make your quarterly estimated tax payment, or not your quarterly ones, your regular tax due, the IRS has tools for that as well. For taxpayers concerned about a tax bill they can't pay, the online payment agreement tool can help determine if they qualify for a payment plan with the IRS. So I'll talk more about that in a minute when we come back from our last break. I thank the callers for calling in tonight. Love the listeners' questions. If you have any, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can either talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable doing that, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio to me. We still have plenty of time. The number 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, the greatest station in the Lehigh Valley, where you learn so much in the morning and afternoon in your car driving, and then have listening pleasure during the day with the classical music. Folks, we are talking about listeners' tax questions tonight. If you have any, we still have plenty of time. You can talk live on air with me or off air. If you just want to give your question to Lori, she'll write it down and bring it in. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So if you can't pay your tax bill, there's this online tool at irs.gov called the Online Payment Agreement to determine if you qualify for a payment plan. They also have the Offer in Compromise pre-qualifier, which can help determine if a taxpayer qualifies for an offer in compromise. An offer in compromise is an agreement with the IRS that settles a person's tax liability for less than the full amount owed. So you could check that out. I'm going to go look at that. So not for me, for to just know more about it, because that's good. They want to help people make sure they're taking care of their taxes. Here's the big thing, the big takeaway I want to make sure that people understand. If you think you're going to owe and you don't have the money to pay, you still should file your tax return, because there are penalties for failure to file. There are penalties for failure to pay. So let's at least limit your penalties to, maybe a failure to pay won't be as bad as a failure to pay and a failure to file. So at least file your return so that you can avoid the failure to file penalties. So you file your tax return, let's pretend you owe and you can't afford it, but you can afford something. Let's pretend you owe $3,000 and you have $200. File your return, pay $200 with your return. That's what you're going to want to do. Show good faith. And then at that time, you can also file a form with your tax return, letting them know that you want to apply for a payment plan. Generally, they prefer if you do like an automatic debit out of an account, so they want account information, and can you do it monthly, and how much can you afford, and that kind of thing. And then you want to stick to that payment plan. You don't want to mess that up. You want to make sure you're continuing to do your payment. Here's something that I had forgotten to mention earlier when I said this online tool, Where's My Refund, and how they enhance something. They now have a tool, Where's My Amended Return Refund. And that's pretty cool, too, because in the past, we could check where a refund was for a currently filed return and maybe back 1 year. But now, if you do that amended return, Melanie, you'll be able to go online and check where's my refund on my amended return. So that tool provides the status of an amended tax return, Form 1040X. Taxpayers can check on the current year 1040X and up to 3 year priors, allow up to 3 weeks after filing to check on the initial status, and up to 16 weeks for processing. 16 weeks for processing. Taxpayers can find answers to questions, forms, and instructions and easy-to-use tools online at irs.gov. Of course, 24 hours a day. We have a caller on line one. We have Martha from Allentown. Hi, Martha. How are you? Hi. Can I help you? Hi. How can I help you?
Hi. My question is, my son was in a motor vehicle accident and has been in the hospital since 2016, hasn't been able to file the 2016 and 17 taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't physically been able to get anywhere to file them.
Okay. So if you're his friend, is there a family member or someone who has a power of attorney, or could an attorney?
No. Okay. No, there isn't.
Okay. Well, there might be some legal services that could come in and help give him, you know, work with him to do a power of attorney such that someone can file that tax return for him, that they can, you know, establish his identity, and I would see if there's legal services, you know, check with the county, go maybe the Bar Association, the Lehigh County Bar Association, or the Northampton County Bar Association, wherever he is, to see if you can get an attorney who would come in and help figure out what you could do to be able to help him so that he could get his tax return filed, especially if he has refunds coming. Because he might need those refunds if that's the case. Right?
Yes, he will.
Okay. So just see if first you can, you know, if he can't afford an attorney, there are typically attorneys who will do pro bono work, and you want to check with the County Bar Association to see if there's someone who could help someone establish a power of attorney or representative, a guardian, if one hasn't already been appointed. I would have expected that someone would have had to have been appointed already for him.
No, because there's no legal, there's no question about competency right now.
Yeah. Okay, well, so, but someone's got to be cashing, like if he's paraplegic, I assume he's getting some kind of disability benefits or Social Security?
No, he's not.
Okay, all right. Well, he
can do that.
Yeah, he needs someone to come step in and be appointed to help him file for claims for all of that stuff then, Martha. Okay. I would check with the local bar association to see if you can find a pro bono attorney who would be willing to come in and meet with him and help get that taken care of. I'm not an attorney, so I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but that's the direction I would go.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. There was some forms you had to file to.
Well, he's still, you know, that's what I mean. Like, if you could get someone who could be his power of attorney or sign for him in some way.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Get them done. Just
right.
Get them done. And
Right.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right. Good luck, Martha. Nice to you help. Okay, bye-bye. Wow, I haven't had that case where that happens, where someone has not had someone, you know, a power of attorney already. So hopefully there will be someone out there who can help Martha and her friend get some representation to help him get those tax returns filed. That's off the top of my head is what I would expect. So folks, we still have a few minutes. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. I just kind of wanted to run through some of these one of these bulletins that the IRS has put out. They called it the Tax Time Guide. I was just going to let you know some of the things that they had put out that's available that maybe people just don't realize. We're always just looking for such quick answers. But they had make the IRS.gov your first stop to get quick answers to tax questions. They had one called Request Online Extension. Get six more months of time to file. I'm going to talk about extensions next week, because next week I'm going to do what I'm calling the potpourri of, what did I call it? The potpourri of taxes, extensions, estimates, and 2018 planning. That's what I'm going to do next week, because we're coming down to the line here. Although in my world, I have tons and tons of time left, because if I don't, I'll have a nervous breakdown. So in my world, I have lots of time. But in the real world, folks, you're running out of time. Get those tax returns done. So, but it looks like you can request an online extension. It's not a big deal to extend your tax return. Some people think it means you're going to get audited or you're exposed yourself. It's really not a big deal, but most people don't like extending. The IRS doesn't care if you like have a refund or you've paid everything in. It's just if you owe, an extension isn't extending the time to pay. It's just